This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hey there. Glad you have joined us for another episode of Embracing Change. We're continuing our season called Resetting Our Beliefs, which has been just phenomenally great so far. Our episode today is titled, What Are You Willing to Give Up to Believe Differently? And Lakrita, I have to say, that's a very challenging title. What are you willing to give up? Because they're going to gain a lot if they do it. But
I think that mainly it's like, what are you willing to make space for?
Yeah.
What are you willing to look at? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do different? What are you willing to make space for? Because I think that our brain is a computer. I think our mind is a computer. I think our belief systems are computerized with data. And so therefore, I believe you have to be willing to delete, just like a computer. We talked about that, I think, in the first episode and the second episode about computers. I believe that our belief systems are a computer and a data. It has algorithms to it. It tells us how to think, what to believe, what we perceive, what we see. And so I'm really going to talk about, you know, what part of the world, others, your five senses. Because I think in order to give up or do something different, you've got to first go back to what we said in the beginning is, where did it come from? You know what I mean? It's like our first topic was, what have you been believing? Where did your beliefs come from? Again, it goes back to, how did you get where you are, and why are you standing in the belief space? So this says, what are you willing to give up? Or what are you willing to do different? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to make new space for? Yes. See what I'm saying? Because if you're not willing to make new space, you're not willing to erase what you believe that maybe you found out. Yesterday I was speaking and I shared about the King James Version of the Bible. How many people believe that the King James Version is some sanctification saint, and that's why it's called King James? And so many people believe that, and I can say this, I believed it. So when I first got into church and I first got into believing God and getting to know, it was really indoctrinating me about the King James Version. And it said, like, if you don't have the King James Version, you don't have a Bible.
You're believing a lie.
You're believing a lie.
Yeah.
And I mean, for a long time, I believed that and I used to make judgments to other people.
Yeah.
When they would have any other interpretation of the Bible outside of King James. What about when the new King James came out? And then the NIV, and then the Recovery, and then the Message, then all those different interpretations of the same word, depending on who's given it. How many of us have believed about certain interpretations of the Bible that it's more holier than any other interpretation? And then we find out the King James Version is not holy. He wasn't even a holy man. He was just a good man who decided to make it more accessible, readable to the readers of their language, and put it in English so they could read it and be able to interpret it. It wasn't even like he was holy. It wasn't even like he was saint, like Saint Peter. He was just a man.
Just a man, right.
Who had an idea that created a good thing, but we think because it's on the Bible that it came probably from Jesus and the Holy Spirit and some inspirational thing. It was just a man with a good idea. And then they decided to give him homage and honor by naming it after him.
Yeah, and you come away from that thinking, oh, King James, he was like this really great man. And it was just a man who did what he thought was the right thing, and that was make the Word of God accessible.
Exactly.
And it was in Elizabethan English.
Exactly.
So we don't speak Elizabethan English anymore, but
that's why some people get so confused with the thous and the these and the this, and you know,
somebody
else decided, well, let's make it interpreted different so people can understand it, so they don't have an excuse. So they come with the NIV, then they come out, you know, I think NIV stands for New International Version. Mm-hmm. And then you come out with the Message Bible that it says the same thing, just in a different interpretation. Then you have the New King James that don't have the these and the thous. You know what I mean? Then you have now they have one called the Passion. They have Tony Evans has his own Bible. You know, it's like, dang, can we just, let's not even just, can we believe the word? How about that? Can we just believe it?
Yeah.
It's irrelevant, the interpretation. Most of us read it and still don't believe it. So when I say, what are you willing to do different? What are you willing to give up? Give up some of your non-beliefs. Give up some of your traditional ways of thinking. Make some space for new opportunities to grow and develop into some new truths, into some new beliefs.
Yeah, and when I see that, I see that it is an exchange. Like people hear the word give up and they think, I'm losing something. And in a sense, yes, you are losing something. But on the other side of that, you gain something else.
Right. It's almost an exchange. How about exchange? If you don't want to use give up, look about exchange.
Well, give up is still good. But it's, you know, when you give up, you are exactly what you were saying. You're just making space for something else to come in there. So you are. You're like saying, okay, I'm letting this go so I can receive this.
Exactly.
And a closed hand cannot receive
just
anything.
Just like a closed mouth can't be fed.
There you go.
You know, same difference.
There you go. Yep.
You know what I mean? So we have to first look at, you know, did I arrive here from what you have observed or what I observed from where? Where did I observe what I believe?
Yeah.
Did I get it from my parents? I said that before, but did I get it from the world? The way it's made and it's created. We talked about all the systems of this world, the education, the social, the financial, government, politics. You know, where did I get what I believe? Where did it come from? Who told me that?
All those layers, which I really loved that layering of where you're getting your beliefs, like family and social and education, and that was awesome.
Yeah,
was
so awesome. It's like all of those. So some of those things you got to go reinvestigate. I believe that for me, I've had to learn why I believed what I believed, who told me it was true, why did I hold on to it so long, what was I willing to give up, exchange, to be different.
Yeah.
I had to exchange my pain for healing. I had to exchange my belief in not trusting for trusting.
Yeah.
I had to exchange or give up lack of confidence for confidence. I had to stop believing I needed to be validated from other people and be validated from what I know to be true about myself. So it's always an exchange. It's always a giving up to receive something new. But you can't keep the same thoughts, layer them on, because eventually they're rotten. I can't lay, it says in the Bible very well, don't put new wine in old wineskin. So I can't put new beliefs on top of old belief systems, because eventually what's going to happen is that I am going to end up layering stuff on top of stuff to the point that it becomes contaminated. It becomes a mixture. I'm not sure what I believe. I believe that sometimes you have to actually give it up, exchange it, throw it away in order to renew that which you want to be different.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And so I constantly think that we have to look at, where did we get that from? Where did I get that belief from? Did I get it from the world? Did the world dictate to me? And I said this yesterday in my speaking engagement, that yesterday when I was talking about the strongholds and the patterns of our thinking, it's the same thing as the belief systems. I believe that, you know, for so often, image is everything. Don't get me wrong. I think that if you're a size 3, praise the Lord. But if you're a size 3 on the outside and your clothes is a size 3 or 4, but your insides is a size 12, because you don't really see yourself as a size 3 or 4, because you've gotten so much weight and inability to articulate who you are from the inside out, it doesn't matter. My doctor told me my numbers were good and normal from the inside. My cholesterol, my blood, my CB counts, my liver, my kidneys, my sugar. It's really not sugar. It's called glucose. You know what I'm saying? All of that. He was telling me how LaCreta, you got great numbers. Well, my body weight is 180. You know, my body frame says from the world and from health, I should be maybe 145. So I'm 35 pounds overweight, and I ain't saying that that's good or bad. It just is. So what I've accepted is I am the greatest me I can be today. If I need to lose 45 pounds or 35 pounds later, I'm not going to condemn myself for not being the size that somebody BMI says I need to be, body mass induction. I'm not going to body shame me. I'm not going to body shame you. I'm not going to, those belief systems no more is driving me, telling me I need to be someone I'm not. I just want to be healthy. I just want to be the best version of me from the inside out, not the outside in. Because the world is on the outside of me. And I don't want the world to tell me what I need to be on the inside.
That's right.
My belief systems and my relationship to God and my relationship to myself and my relationship to others can help me navigate who I am and who I need to be from the inside out. It's amazing. Today I was walking and I'm really a stickler about my car, about trash, about different things in my life. And so I'm again, you call it yourself the, you like to make order out of chaos. Well, I like to see things clean, period. And if that's order out of chaos, I just like the things very neat and clean and polished. That's just how I see things. And so I'm walking and I see all this trash. And I could hear something inside me start wrestling with what I was seeing on the outside. And I heard this voice inside of me say, Lucreta, why are you so distraught about the trash in the street and on the grass and where you see it at? That's what the world does. We're not taking care of the environment we're living in. It is destroying itself. Don't be so concerned with what's happening outside of here. Just make sure you don't get distracted on what's happening inside of you. What does your insides look like? Is it trash all over the place? Are you scattered? Are you thinking too many things? Do you believe in the wrong thing? Are you thinking the wrong thing? What's going on inside you? Because that's what matters. You can pick up the trash on the ground. But are you picking up the things that's falling apart inside you? And that would be my question to the people that's listening. What is the things inside of you that you need to pick up to make it more creative to the point of getting it in order? We can't control the world all the time. But we can control the piece of the world that we live in. And that's called self-control. And that's just period. That was just such a ha-ha moment for me today. So I'm not taking off on some irrational thinking or belief system that I have some super focused control over something that I don't. And then I don't allow what I'm seeing to get so caught up in it that it creates me to start being or thinking or doing something and feeling some certain kind of way that I don't have no control over. So I really was like, thank you for that small, still voice that said, pull yourself back together. Don't go out there on that ledge like that. The world is what it is. You got so much mankind out there. The humans will do what they want to do, say what they want to say, be who they want to be. That's who they are.
The Addams Family.
Addams Family again. But yeah. I'm just saying in that moment, I couldn't get caught up because had I gotten caught up, I got distracted. And so even in that, what I realize is that some of our belief systems come from the world. They come from other people. Sometimes people tell us stuff that they believe. And then guess what? We are almost repeated to somebody else. I've seen me do it. And I never investigated where that came from. I did it with the King James. I would judge people if they didn't have King James Version. Because somebody told me that that was the most holy version of, that was the holiest version of the Bible. And so for so long, I wouldn't consider even looking at another version of the Bible. Let's be honest. How many of us has done that?
I can tell you about an instance where when I was first a believer and I was living with someone and another relative had gotten me an NIV Bible.
Mm.
I was so excited by this NIV Bible. It had my name in gold on the front, just super excited about it. And this person I was living with said, you know, that is an abomination. That right there is not really the Word of God. And what you need to do is you need to take that out and tear that up and throw that away. And I was like, really? Like, I had no idea. I'm a new believer. You don't know what you don't know. And I trusted this person. And, of course, what did I do?
You tore it up?
I tore it up. And I regretted it. And the person that had given it to me was someone really dear to me. And they asked me, so, you really liking that new Bible I got you? It's pretty easy to read, isn't it? And I had to confess that I'd torn it up. And I could see on her face that I wounded her. And I regretted that so badly. But that's just, when you talk about versions of the Bible and how one is supposedly holier than another, and it rather than it just being an interpretation, that's been my little journey of dealing with different versions of the Bible. And they're just interpretations, right?
And that's it. They say the same thing. All of them say the same thing, right? They just say them in different ways.
There can be a word-for-word translation. They can be what's called a phrase per phrase or a thought per thought. So
exactly.
That means that every single word is not going to be accurate.
Exactly.
We could get off on a whole tangent
with that. Right. But we have to be willing to talk about those things.
Yeah.
This might just be a conversation that we're having about the Bible, but how many other things do people believe because somebody else told them?
Yeah.
How many other things have we made it almost a absolute belief system and build our lives on it? It's a foundation. Then we build a house. Then we decorate the house. Then we live in that house. And dare anybody to try to break in that house and ask us to redecorate that house or to tear that house down and to start back over from the foundation, because what we believed is not a truth, or it's not really the best way, or it may have been for that season. Come on.
Yeah.
But it's not for this season, because where you're going, you can't take that with you. So you have to shed that off of you now. So when you go into the new place, it's just like if I'm working somewhere and they let me dress in blue jeans and T-shirts, that's what they do. But if I go into the bank and walk in there and I'm an employee and I had an interview and I went into the interview, I'm just saying, with a suit on, right? Because I believe that you must be appropriate to go to the interview.
Right.
But when I show up for the job, I have tennis shoes on, blue jeans, and a T-shirt rolled up. They're going to look at me like, can you please go home and change clothes? Because
right.
Somewhere I believe that I can go to work that way, even though I couldn't interview. What would make me think that I can dress up for the interview but go to work the way I want to?
Right. Just
and
wearing
so
whatever.
And so often people do that in so many different ways. They have these concepts and precepts and notions and all of this stuff, thinking that this is the way to do it. And I believe it comes from the world. I believe it comes from other people. I'm learning that it even comes from our five senses. We can all walk into a room and smell something different. How many times I've walked in certain rooms, and I'm gonna just go here, y'all, with the bathroom. I hate when people go to the bathroom and walk in there and say, oh my God, it stinks in here. Well, what do you want it to smell like? The bathroom is supposed to have its own odor.
Right.
So I dare me go in there and say to myself, like it offends me, that it especially if it's a public bathroom. I'm going to go with public bathroom now, not my personal private. You know, we keep those pretty clean. But my point is that when I go into a public bathroom in the mall or restaurant, and I have seen it, my friends laugh at me when I say it to them, and they'll come in there behind with me, and they say, oh my God, this stinks in here. And I say, exactly, tell me what the bathroom should smell like. Tell me, should it smell like roses and daisies? What should it smell like? Because I think that we go to the bathroom to waste out ourselves. And so therefore it's not going to, and if all kind of different people are coming in there, it's not going to have. So why do you believe it should smell some other kind of way?
Right.
Somebody told you that it should smell, because maybe you're taking your sense of smell from your home and making that a reality of truth everywhere you go. And that is just not the truth. The bathroom is in the bathroom, even in your home. It's an isolated room. It shouldn't smell like the living room or the kitchen. You know, now if your kitchen smells like a bathroom, you got a problem.
Yes, you do.
And you need to figure out why it's smelling that way.
That's right.
But I'm saying even in our five senses, we make assumptions that life is the way it is. In our sight, we'll see certain things and we'll come up with a conclusion. I believe that this generation now, and even in the way that they dress and some of the things that they do, it's all in what they see. They think that's acceptable. I'm going to give you a prime example of belief system. The young men that wear their pants on their hip or wear them hanging off of their hip. They hang
buttocks,
them off. Buttocks. Buttocks. Yeah. Pass it.
Yeah.
There is, if you looked at, I would challenge every person listening to me to go look up where that came from. I'm not even going to say. Yeah. But go look it up. Because somewhere, somebody believed that that's a style and a fad. And so all it took is one person to believe it. And then now you look around and you see so many different people wearing their pants. And to me, it's inappropriate. But it's appropriate to them. So it's what they believe. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's what they believe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear it like that. And I definitely wouldn't wear it like that and try to run from the police. Because I'm surely to God going to fall. If I'm wearing my belt and my pants around my thighs, I am going to fall if I'm running. I'm going to hurt my back eventually. If you look at the alignment of how we operate, if I wear my pants that way, even as myself, eventually I'm going to disalign my back, my hips, my knees. There's so many effects to the things we do and why we do them. And we don't understand the longevity and the repercussion or the outcome or the consequences of what we do and why we do it. And that's why you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to give up to be different, to change my belief systems? What am I willing to, how am I going to do it? And I think the first way we do it is go research information. See why you do what you do. See where it came from. See if it fits the life you have today. Or is it a life that you need to do? You know what I'm saying? Because I can't always go into the future with some of the stuff I have in the present. I've got to be willing to give up something. It don't matter what it is. If I want something new, I've got to do something different. If I want something to stay the same, just keep doing what I'm doing. It's guaranteed to stay the same.
Right.
So it's all about, you know, even your hearing. How did you hear? You were talking today about listening. How do you hear people? What do you hear when people are saying stuff, just like with text messages and different things with our belief? I don't really know what someone is saying unless I ask them. I can assume through a text message that you're saying it this way or email, but unless I'm willing to have a face-to-face conversation with you and ask you the hard questions, what did you mean when you said that? How did you mean it? Where did it come from? Because if without those questions, I can believe that you're calling me a name, that you are saying something you're really not saying, you know, all because it's being sifted through a perception of my sight or my hearing or my belief systems.
Mm.
You hear what I'm saying?
I've seen
right now, I don't even understand why people have, I would say, I guess they call it, you know, Facebook fights or Instagram fights or, you know, whatever they call
Twitter
it.
Twitter wars.
Yeah. Why they're warring over someone else's perspective. If you call me a name, I don't have to respond back.
Right.
If I already know what my name is and you call me something different, I don't have to respond back unless you hit a place in my life that I've yet to be confident in my own self. So I don't have to convince you that I'm not that person. So I think the greatest way we can really start to find peace, even through the data of Twitter and internet and all those things, is be careful with what you hear, what you see, what you sense, your five senses, you know, what you smell, what you taste. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
That means to me, bite into the real truth of who he is instead of assuming you know who he is. When someone talk about God, you mention God, and some people can, in one room, you can get 10 people, mention the word, just say the word God, and you're going to get 10 different responses. Hmm. Because they hear a word that says G-O-D, and then they come up with their experience and their beliefs of what God is. And so if I was to ask them, they're going to tell me based first on their five senses. We know the world and our lives mainly with our senses, with what we feel, what we touch, what we taste, what we smell, what we hear, what we see. That's how we really, when babies are born, that is another way that they are able to detect the world that they live in. It's based on a lot of it on our cognitive thinking and our senses. Most of it's what we see, how we see it. We can see the same accident, and you're going to interpret it different than I do, based on how I feel, what's going on with me at the time, what part of it did I miss that you may have gathered, what part of it did I gather that you missed. I think it's all of those things, and we have to look at that. And that's what we have to deal with based on our belief system. And what are we willing to do different? What are we willing to give up?
And are we willing to get quiet enough, alone enough, to be able to dig into those things? Sometimes I think we get so, you talked about distractions. We get so distracted by so many things in our lives that we forget to just get quiet.
Yeah.
If you really want to know, just get quiet. Like, I know a person who, because of trauma, again, it can go back to trauma, to be still and not be busy, they're faced with a lot of old memories and things like that. So they have a very hard time not being busy and just getting still. And, you know, counseling, of course, and some other things would help with that. But being still would help process some of that. And that's even like with smells. Like, you were talking about how you process the world, and smell is like the number one thing that'll take you to a memory. Mm-hmm. That'll take you, it could be something as simple as the scent of a certain flower.
Exactly.
That will take you to a memory. And so while it could be a bad thing, like you could have had a trauma and had a certain scent associated with that, and then you smell that scent and you're still connecting it to that, even though it really didn't like currently have anything to do with that. So you've got to like dismantle and cut off that connection to be able to process and change how you think about something from a smell, a memory, whatever.
Or even a word. It can be one word.
Yeah.
Somebody can trigger you with a sound.
Yeah.
Again, it's in your hearing. It's like, God, and it brings back everything that you used, even the things you've dismantled that you've been trying to work on and be different in your belief system. That one sound can bring back so many memories. And if you're not careful, even the pieces you dismantled, you will reengage them again just from a sound or a smell. And you'll look up and the whole thing will be remantled again. And it's like, how did it get there? It just came from one sound.
Yeah.
Because your memory doesn't have the ability to distinguish whether it's true, whether it's now, or whether it was then. All it knows is in the hippocampus, it remembers passion. I've said this before, purpose and pain. And that's it dismantles and it mantles up stuff so quickly. It's arming and disarming. Smells, senses can do either one.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able, you know, it's just like the Bible verse when you talked about, you know, just being quiet or being still. What I'm learning is when the Bible talks about, I think it's in Psalm 46:10, it says, be still, know that I am God. I've come to the conclusion when he's saying that, it's like the other day I had a thought about inviting someone, my friend, to my speaking engagement. And I just had a thought, but then I said, no, and I talked myself out of even doing it. So my belief was because she has told me that she's with her family that day. And so I was like, oh, no, I'm not even going to tell her. You know, I don't want to create an option for her is what I was doing. And I said it just like that. I'm not going to create an option because she's already told me and I'm going to respect what she's told me. So then out of nowhere, going back to the Bible verse, the Lord showed me that when you allow things to happen the way they are, be still and know that I am God. There's times that I'm going to invite you on the journey to help, to assist me in a situation, but 90% of the time, Lucreta, I don't really need you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say to you, when I looked up, I was getting a text from the same girl that the friend that I was going to invite, that then said to me, you know what, I just heard you were going to be speaking Sunday, and I'm coming to that church on that Sunday. And the reason that I'm coming to that church is because of this, 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 and that. And the Lord showed me, see, when you were still and know that I'm God, I know how to work things out, Lucretia.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the time, I don't really need your help. 10% of the time, I invite you for your help. You got to know which 90-10. Sometimes it's 90%, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's him 90 and me 10. Sometimes he requests me to be 90, and he's going to always be 100. But it's just that what percentage of him, of me, do he need me to help him with?
Yeah.
But I have to learn what it means to be still and know that he's God.
Yeah, yeah.
And let him work it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes he just doesn't need my help. He knows how to make it happen and moves on the heart of people better than I ever could. And I'm learning that that is part of being willing to let go of something, to do something different, not always react to every thought I have or even the things that I used to believe in, to be able to just sit and be still and know that he's God.
Yeah.
And he is able to help me exchange and let go and give up those belief systems that I used to totally guard from anyone because they were mine.
Yeah. And you identified them with yourself.
Exactly.
And to let them go would be to let go of a part of yourself.
Exactly.
Even though it's your beliefs are just beliefs. It's
exactly.
Not really who you are.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But they have identified us so long.
Right, right. Right. Well, that's a good place to wrap this up. This is a lot to like just marinate on and think about. I hope for the listeners out there that you come away from this a little bit challenged. Like, what are you willing to give up? I want you to think about that question this week as you've listened to this podcast. Like, what are you willing to exchange in order to have something different in your life? And just get still and listen.
Even to the smallest sounds.
Yeah.
Even to the smallest smells. Even to the smallest things you see. Even to the things you touch. Even to the things you hear.
Yeah.
Just be still. Amen. Be open.
Amen. All right. See ya. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2020 by Lucretia Bowman.